I have never seen our church so happy and giggling and smiling. Boy, let's do this every week. You know. Our scripture today is taken from Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading. And let's kneel as much as those who can, and we'll have a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we again come before you with gratitude and praise. Lord, we just thank you for the many things that you've done for us. We thank you for the Bible, for the stories that are in it that we can learn from, that you created us with your own hands, that you wanted to be that intimate with man and with a relationship. Lord, we pray that you be with the pastor today as he presents the word. Bless him and give him the words to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you take your Bibles and open up to Daniel chapter 12. All right, Daniel chapter 12. I know it's not where we had our scripture reading from, but I like to turn to the end of the book of Daniel. And speaking of the book of Daniel, I like to start a new series. We finished Ephesians. The last two books we studied together were from the New Testament. I wanted to go to the Old Testament. And as I think about the book of Daniel, the first thing I can think of is the words of Jesus. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, of all the books that he quoted from when he was here on earth of the Bible, this is the one he wants us to read and to understand. And so I want to go through the book of Daniel, first of all, because this is what Jesus asked us to do. And the second thing is, the resurrected Christ, when he was sharing with his disciples, he told them that all the law, the prophets, the writings of God's word all pointed to him. And here in the book of Daniel, of all the books, we're going to see that it points to Jesus Christ. And for those reasons, I want to study the book of Daniel. Now, the question is, where should we start in the book of Daniel? And when I was in college, I had a friend, and him and I would go to the bookstore together, and we would look at books. I liked to look through the book and look at the different chapters. He liked to go to the end of the book. All right? He would read the conclusion of the book, and if he liked the conclusion of the book, then he would buy the book. You know, he would say, oh, it's a good book. I ought to buy this book. I was different. But he would read the end of the book, and I want to read a few verses here, four verses in Daniel chapter 12. I just want to give you a flavor of what the book of Daniel is about. All right, I'm here in Daniel chapter 12. I'm going to start with verse 4. See if you can see the theme running through the book of Daniel. Here it is, verse 4. It says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. All right, there's a phrase there, until the time of the end. Take a look at this, because we're going to go to verse 8. Verse 8, Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. Although I heard it, I did not understand, and then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Yeah, it's referring to the time of the end. Look at verse 9. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. There's that phrase again. Three times. Hey, the fourth time, maybe we'll get this. Look at verse 13. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Yeah, this is a book about the end times, okay? And this is why it should excite all of us. This is why all of us should want to study the book of Daniel. And I want you to notice in that very last verse, there was a promise, wasn't there? A beautiful promise, a promise to Daniel. And that promise was that he would rest, he would pass away, but he would rise. Yeah, at the end of the days, there's a resurrection day, all right? And he was going to be part of that resurrection. God had given him the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I believe God is still the same today. He speaks to us. And by his grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he offers salvation to you and to me. All right. Now, that's the end of the book. Let's start at the beginning of the book. Let's go now to Daniel chapter 1. All right. Daniel chapter 1. And as we go through this book, the first thing I want you to realize is that there are six stories and six prophecies, all right? Isn't that amazing? Six stories, six prophecies. Now, the stories tell what it's going to be like in the last days. They're not written there by chance. They're not written just to be good stories. They're telling us something. It's that the last days are not going to be easy. And that in the last days, we need to be a people of the Word of God, a people of prayer. We need to be drawing closer to God and trusting completely in Him if we're going to get through the last days. All right? And the prophecies are like signposts. All right? And they're telling us, not the day or hour, but they're telling us we're getting closer and closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. If I was to drive down to Los Angeles and I would get out on the highway, it would say like 500 miles to Los Angeles. And I go on that road and I stay on that road, it'll say 450 miles to Los Angeles. And then it'll say 400. 300, 200, and it's telling me I'm getting closer and closer. And this is the purpose of the prophecies. They're telling us to get ready. Be ready because Jesus is coming soon. All right? So there's the two parts of, there's the stories, there's the prophecies. And here in Daniel 1 and verse 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now here we see the central theme of the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, there's a war, there's a conflict, and there's a battle. And there's a battle between Christ and Satan, between good and evil, between right and wrong, that just runs through this entire book, all right? And it begins here in the very first verse. Now, Jehoiakim was the king of Judah, and he reigned for 11 years. He was 25 years old when he took the throne, and he was 36 years old when he lost the throne, all right? And he was not a very good king. He was not faithful. He was not true. He was not loyal. He was not obedient to God. And Jerusalem, you know, was supposed to be a symbol. It was supposed to be a symbol to the world of what God will do for those who put their faith and trust in him. that he would pour out his blessings, that he would watch over and that he would protect and he would bless the people with health, with wealth, and ultimately with this, the gift of salvation. Jerusalem was to be the center of worship of the true God. And Babylon, on the other hand, Babylon was to be a symbol of the worship of the false gods. All right? It was to be the symbol of idolatry. It was a symbol of rebellion against God. And even though God allowed the Israelites to go into captivity, and he did it with a purpose, all right? And that purpose was, first of all, was to get the Israelites to repent. Jehoiakim was not a good king. And we're going to see in just a few minutes here that all Israel with the king rebelled against God. God did everything he could to bring them to repentance, but they would not repent. And so in captivity, God will bring them to repentance. And today, God wants us to be an obedient people. He wants us to listen to him. He wants us to obey him. He calls us closer to him. And through the power of his Holy Spirit and by his grace, he wants to empower us to live like his sons and daughters. And the second thing that I see here is that he wanted his people to be a light in Babylon. You know, he sent them away to Babylon to repent, but God loved the Babylonians too. He not only loved the Israelites, but he loved the Babylonians. He loved the world, and he is going to reveal himself to the world, all right? Through the Israelites being in Babylon, God is going to reveal himself that he's the all-powerful, almighty God who created man. And that everyone should worship him. And so God sent Israel. He allowed Israel to go into Babylon for these reasons. Now, it says here in verse 1 that Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city. And when the city is besieged, it's a terrible thing. It means that that city was surrounded. No one could go in and no one could go out, all right? And it means if you needed to go out to the gardens or to the vineyards or to get water, you couldn't get food or water, all right? And you had to stay inside the city. And you stayed inside that city knowing, all right, that the enemy is on the outside and trying to get in. And they would bring in their catapults, all right? And they would put big rocks on the catapults. And then they would let those rocks fly over their gates. And they would come in like missiles, causing pain and destruction, all right? And not only that, they had battering rams. And they would pound away at the walls. Yeah, the people that were inside, yeah, they were hungry, they were starving, and they knew the enemy was out there. And they did this to get them discouraged, to get their minds off of God, and to make them to want to give up and to give in, okay? And this is why they had besieged the city and surrounded it, okay? And in verse 2, I'm in Daniel chapter 1, verse 2. And the Lord gave. Now notice that. Yeah, the Babylonians just didn't come in by chance. All right? And Israel was in God's hand. And so were the Babylonians. All right? It says here that the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, that's another name for Babylon, to the house of his God, that he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. So Babylon is going to overthrow, all right, King Jehoiakim, and he's going to take the vessels of the temple back to Jerusalem, back to Babylon, I'm sorry. He's going to take them out of Jerusalem back to Babylon and put them in the treasure house of his gods. Now, isn't that odd? Isn't that strange? Why in the world would he do this? Yeah, he did this because he wanted to show the Israelites that he not only conquered them, but he conquered God. That he was greater than God and that his gods were greater than God. And he wanted to discourage the people. He wanted to change the people. He wanted to change the culture of the Israelites. He began what I call a brainwashing, all right? He wanted to wash out their relationship with God, and he wanted to implant that they would be faithful and true and loyal to Babylon. And that's why he took away the articles of the temple. Because it looked like God was defeated and the main god of Babylon was Bel-Marduk. And they had 13 other gods as well. But he just wanted to show that he had won this great battle. It looked like it was a great defeat to the Israelites. But God, yeah, even though it looked like a great defeat, God, in spite of the defeat, God can turn any defeat into victory. Now, sometimes we may go through hard times. We may go through trials. We may face problems, circumstances, that we may not understand why we are facing them, why we are going through them, all right? But here, the Israelites knew. They understood. If you hold your place there in the book of Daniel, I'm going to go to the book of Chronicles, all right? 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, all right? The very last chapter of 2 Chronicles, all right? You're turning to the left, all right? Right before the book of Ezra, 2 Chronicles 36. I just want you to see what was happening in Israel at this time. 2 Chronicles 36, beginning with verse 15. All right, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Yeah, so God's going to send messengers. He's going to send his prophets, his teachers. Yeah, he's going to call them to repent and call them back to God to be faithful and true and loyal and obedient. Yeah, God had compassion on his people. But it says here in verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. There was no remedy. See, this was the situation Israel was in. This was the spiritual condition. And may it never happen to us. May we be a people of the word. Not just that we have a head knowledge, but that our hearts knows the living God and that his character lives and reigns in our hearts. It says here in verse 17, therefore he, meaning God, brought against them the king of the Chaldeans. That's another word for Babylonians. Yeah, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. And had no compassion on young man or virgin, or the aged or the weak. You see, God had compassion. King Nebuchadnezzar did not. All right? Yeah. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king of and his leaders, all those he took to Babylon. You see, Babylon had turned its back on God. God had brought the people to Babylon to repent and to be a light in there. Yeah, the terrible things had happened to the Israelites, but it was because they had turned their backs on God. And here we are, I'm going back to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and Daniel now is in Babylon, and then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and in 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve the king. Now, why would Nebuchadnezzar do this? All right? Why would he be interested in bringing young men, yeah, and training them up? Yeah, he had a plan. He had a purpose. It was his brainwashing plan. He wanted to teach them in the ways of the Babylonians. And once they learned the ways of the Babylonians, yeah, they would be faithful to the Babylonians. After all, their god was destroyed, and he wanted them to worship the gods of the Babylonians. He wanted them to be faithful to him, and then he could send them back to Israel. And they wouldn't rebel against his leadership. Yeah, he could send them back to Jerusalem, and they would be faithful and true to him. And that is what he was trying to do. And you know, I'm going to tell you today, there is a spiritual Babylon in this world. And it's trying to draw us away from God. It's trying to brainwash us. It's trying to brainwash our children so that they will no longer be faithful and true to God. We're in a real spiritual battle. And we need to uplift Jesus Christ to our young people. We need to uplift Jesus Christ to the world and point people to the true way of life. Here in verse 6, it says, now among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, why in the world would he want to change their names? This is part of the brainwashing. See, back in Jerusalem, names were very important. All right? Names had a spiritual connotation. Yeah, Daniel meant God is my judge. Yeah, can you think of another young person who would be walking around and seeing Daniel and saying, oh, God is my judge. Oh, I better be careful with what I say and do and think. Yeah, yeah. And then the name Hananiah meant the Lord is gracious. Isn't that a beautiful name? Yeah, the Lord is gracious to all of us. Yeah, he is gracious, and by his grace we are saved. And when a person saw Hananiah and they thought of that word, they said, oh, yes, God is gracious to me. And Mishael means someone who is like God. Wow. Imagine having a character say, hey, I want to be like God. Yeah. And Azariah meant the Lord is my helper. Wow, what beautiful names these young men were given. But yeah, Nebuchadnezzar didn't want them to be thinking about their God. And so Nebuchadnezzar, with his brainwashing plan, he changes their names. He changes Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, meant keeper of Bel's treasures. Yeah, keeper of Bel's treasures. Hey, he wanted them to think about Bel and that Bel had treasures for them. Hey, don't believe it. All right? Yeah, Daniel didn't believe it. And instead of Hananiah, meaning the Lord is gracious, he changed his name to Shadrach, which means inspiration of the sun. Instead of thinking about the creator, think about the created thing. All right? Yeah. Instead of thinking about the sun, Jesus Christ, yeah, think about the sun that warms us from the sky. Yeah. And Mishael, meaning one who was like God, yeah, it's one who belongs to one of their 13 gods, the goddess of Sheba, all right? Instead of Azariah, meaning the Lord is my helper, now he changed his name to Abednego, which means servant of Nebo. Yeah, yeah, he tried to brainwash these young men. And let me tell you, he's doing the same thing today. And don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to anyone you know and you love. Yeah, that help them to know, yeah, that Jesus Christ is the only way through which we can be saved. And here in the book of Daniel, yeah, Daniel was away from home. Yeah, his home was destroyed. His city was destroyed. Hey, his temple was destroyed. And the things that were in the temple were brought to Babylon. His God had lost, all right? Yeah, and he was away from his parents. No one to help him and no one to encourage him. He was in this brainwashing school. His name was changed. And here was Daniel. And what was Daniel going to do? Yeah, and here in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Isn't that beautiful? That should be the purpose in our hearts. Yeah, that should be how we live our lives. Daniel had a choice. Even though he was away from home, even though he was away from his parents, even though he was in this brainwashing school, all right, he said, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to remain faithful and true and loyal and obedient to God. I'm going to be the person God wants me to be. I'm not going to be the person that Nebuchadnezzar wants me to be. And today, we have a choice. We have to choose. Yeah, yeah, you remember the words of Joshua. Yeah, he says, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Hey, today is today. Make that decision. He said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And today, let's make that choice. Let's make that decision. Let's purpose in our hearts that we're going to be faithful and true and loyal to God. Ellen White writes, the greatest want of this world is the want of men. Men whom will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle is to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Wow. God's not only looking for men, but women. He's looking also for young adults. He's looking for children that will be faithful and true to him no matter what, no matter their circumstances, no matter what trials they are facing. God wants us to purpose in our hearts to remain true to him. Now, Daniel was faced with an important decision because it dealt with the food that he ate. Take a look at this. I'm in Daniel 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. All right? Yeah, this dealt with his food. All right? And this was the trial that he was facing. Yeah, should he eat the king's food? And Daniel chose not to. Why not? Why didn't he just eat? No, his parents weren't there. All right? He didn't have the adult supervision. I mean, this was the food that the king provided. Yeah. Daniel looked at that food and he knew some things about it. First of all right, yeah, it was offered to idols. And he did not want to touch the food that was offered to idols. He didn't want anybody to think that he believed in those idols and that those idols provided for the food that he was eating. Yeah, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And secondly, he knew that when you eat certain foods and drink alcohol, wine, the king's wine, all right, he knew that certain things affect the mind. You know, if we were to drink alcohol, if I was to drink wine and try to go drive my car, yeah, I would be in serious trouble, all right? Yeah, and Daniel knew that if he partook of that king's wine, it would affect his mind, which would affect his relationship with God, which would affect the judgments, the choices that he would be making. And Daniel didn't want to make the wrong choices. And therefore, he wanted his mind clear. All right? Yeah. And thirdly, yeah, God had spelled out in his word what was clean food and what was unclean food. And Daniel did not want to disappoint God. Daniel wanted to let God know that he was going to be true to him in every area of his life, even his appetite, even what he ate. He was going to remain true and faithful to God. All right, I'm going to skip down to verse 12. And he's going to say to the man, Daniel's going to say, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And this man is going to agree to this. All right. This man, and here's our first scientific test of what we eat and how it affects our bodies, how it affects our minds. Here it is. Here's a test. And down in verse 14, it says, and so he consented. All right, he's going to say, all right, I'll test you guys with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh. And all the young men who ate the king's delicacies. And thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine, and they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Wow. Wow. Here it was, a scientific test. And not only that, because these young men were faithful to God, even in what they ate. All right. As for these young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. And then at the end of the days, at the end of those 3 years, look at verse 19. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all was found among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And therefore they served before the kings. And he found them with so much knowledge and understanding. It says here in verse 20, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers, which are part of his wise men that counseled him, that told him what to do. He found them 10 times wiser than them. Wow. God turned an apparent defeat. Daniel was taken into captivity, into victory. And I don't know what you're going through today, but the good news of the book of Daniel is that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what people say or do, yeah, God can turn your defeat into victory. Today, God loves you. Today, God wants to bless you. Today, God has saved you. Today, you are his son, his daughter, he belonged to his everlasting kingdom. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word and the power of your word and the power of choice. And just as Daniel purposed in his heart, today we purpose in our hearts to be faithful and true and loyal and obedient to you, regardless of what we go through in this world, regardless of what people say, regardless of our circumstances. Lord, we belong to you. Our eyes are on you. Please turn all those things that we think has defeated us, turn them into victory so that we can praise your name today and for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and for answering our prayers, because we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, hymn number 279, Only Trust Him. 279.
Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
And now may God's grace bless you and keep you and watch over you. May he give you the faith to trust completely in him. May he put the purpose in our hearts so that we will choose him today and every day. May we live in his presence to be faithful and true and loyal and obedient to him, regardless of what happens to us. May the fellowship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit be with you to bless you and save you. May he bless your families. May he bless your marriages, your homes, your children and grandchildren. May they all be saved in God's kingdom as well. May he go with you as we leave this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.